We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, September 18th, 2014. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 118 in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me as always, Brad Ludwig, Anessa Moyens, both in Wausau, Wisconsin. It's your international podcast. And this is the show where we talk about all things alien and beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic book, science, and in real life. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Awesome.
I kind of switched it up. I usually say, how you guys doing, and then start talking about the show. I thought I'd talk a little bit about the show, talk to you guys, and then get back into describing what else we do on the podcast.
The Netcast?
Netcast. Thank you. We're just talking pre-show that I'm trying to force myself to say Netcast because I'll say podcast right after saying Galactic Netcasts. It's dumb. So I'm going with one word, and that's Netcast. So anytime that I say podcast, give me a mental jolt of some kind. Okay?
Excellent.
All right, this is the show, like I said, where we talk about aliens and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, real life. I could go on and on and on. We break the show down into three sections, the news, the craft corner, that's the spotlight of a certain kind of alien spacecraft, and our picks for the week. And if you want to watch us do the show live, we record on Google Plus Hangout. You can also watch it on YouTube, youtube.com/galacticnetcasts or galacticnetcasts.com/live. And we do it usually Thursdays. Just follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Google Plus and find out when and where that's going to be. We'll put a link up and tell you when we're going live, that kind of thing. So won't you do that? And won't you keep listening here as we get the thing on the road? And let's start with the news.
In the news.
It's usually show on the road. I don't know why I said thing on the road. A thing on the road would be like roadkill, right?
Well, it could be somebody's cooler that fell off the back of the pickup. Doesn't necessarily have to be a dead skunk or something in the road. So
the person that whose cooler fell off their vehicle, they didn't really tie it down that well if it fell off the back of the pickup. Got to tie it down better with some straps.
There's a lot of stuff that's fallen off of vehicles that I've seen on the highway. So people really need to take the time to use a couple of bungee straps.
You know why? You know why they're doing that? You know why they're failing at that? They're not getting enough sleep.
You think so, Dave? Well, I have something that might be able to help them sleep.
Thank you. Thank you,
which
Anessa.
Happens to be part of my story. I see what you were doing there. So yeah, sleep aid for geeks. Some people like to drift off to the sound of ocean waves lapping on the shoreline. Others like the electrified hum of a futuristic spacecraft right before an alien bursts out of someone's chest.
Who likes that? I don't believe them. What's the shenanigans that you're talking about?
Well, if you count yourself in the second group with the whole spacecraft right before aliens pop out of someone's chest, then you might want to check out the clip in which YouTube user Chris Knife 00, that's CrysKnife 00, aka Arkansas software engineer named Spike Snell. He mines Ridley Scott's 1979 sci-fi classic Alien for a mesmerizing 12-hour ambient audio loop.
This is, of course, in the long history of ambient noise things like the Starship Enterprise.
He did Star Trek Next Gen. He did a 24-hour loop previously.
Oh, okay. It's the same guy.
So he's the same guy.
Okay.
And he got such, well, the Star Trek Next Gen clip of the Enterprise engines going for a 24-hour loop collected over 1.6 million page views. And he ended up with a lot of positive feedback from it. And he found out that there's a lot of people that really dig this sort of thing, and it helps them sleep. It's like another form of white noise, so they don't necessarily have to have the AC on or the heater on or a fan on or something. And so he decided that he was going to do another one, which was with Alien. So he's got a 12-hour loop. So if you have trouble sleeping and you want to try something different besides having a fan on, then you can give this a try.
You know what? I don't know. This might freak me out. It might keep me up because I'd be thinking about Alien the whole time and looking out for xenomorphs from underneath the sheet.
I guess it really depends on maybe your mood and what you've read or seen right before you went to bed. So I can see how this would spark that fear, like, oh no, man, there's possibly a xenomorph hanging out underneath my bed.
I'd be scared and I'd probably wet my bed.
Possibly. So, yeah.
Which would be even grosser for you.
Yeah, a little bit. I'll grab a towel. So, but yeah, after the initial success of the Star Trek clip, it began to dawn on him that there was a distinct demand for this. So, like I said, because of the feedback that he got, he decided to go ahead and continue. And he's got many more themed clips added to his channel, such as the Millennium Falcon's engine noise, the crunching metal thump of an AT-AT or AT-AT.
AT-AT.
And Yoda's unnerving laugh. I don't know why people would want to listen to that.
I don't think I could fall asleep to that at all.
Well, it's not just falling asleep. Some people use it as like a white noise to help them focus on the task at hand.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So, you know, like if you're working in an office or something, or if you're working and it's completely silent and you're used to having noise around you, then they use this as kind of a background noise to get you comfortable, and so that way you can focus on what you're working on. So it's not just sleep, although I don't see a case in which Yoda's laugh would really help you concentrate on studying or typing up a letter or memo or something. But yeah, he's also crafted several clips inspired by one of his favorite movies, Blade Runner, and the sound of noirish rain falling from inside the Bradbury building. So
the Bradbury building, that was the building from Blade Runner, right?
Yes.
So
that's his favorite.
Do you guys want to brainstorm and think about some other ones he can do? I'm wrecking my brain. I can't think of any.
No,
right
I
now.
Mean, I guess he can do the TARDIS on loop, but that would get kind of old, I would think.
I don't know. There's
although maybe the console making noises and stuff like that before it actually.
Yeah, I'm sure that you could isolate a quiet period from a Doctor Who episode of not actually engaging the TARDIS, the traditional TARDIS noise.
That idle sound while it's just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, yeah. Good idea.
Maybe the sound of the Cylons, like the light going back and forth.
Another one that would unnerve me. I don't know if I could handle that one.
Actually, I've thought about trying to get that sound for my phone for something or other.
That would be
maybe
cool.
Text tone.
That would be really awesome. But which one do you pick? Do you pick from the original series or the reimagined Battlestar Galactica?
I'd have to give them both a listen side by side and see which one I prefer. If I'm going with the ringtone, though, of like actual music, then it would be the original Battlestar Galactica. Because it's got more of that, it's upbeat, you can do anything, and it's got horns and brass, and you're just, woo.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. As far as the noise from the Cylon Eye, you could totally do like a mashup of you could do that, you could do the, from Kit, from Knight Rider, I think his little thing made noise too, right? His yep. little eye, yeah. quote unquote eye. Is there one more that's kind of like that? I'm trying to think. Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. No. I'd have to give it some more thought. Maybe if we think of something later on in the episode, we can pop in after a story. Be like, oh yeah, it was this. But Yeah, and that's just kind of what I'm thinking of for noises, I guess, so far, which at least one of them would unnerve Dave, so.
Because that's the most important thing, right?
Yes.
Brad, any thought, any
not really.
Any brainstorm on your part as far as ambient noise goes?
You know, the sound of the proton pack running.
Oh, yeah.
From
the
Ghostbusters.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Boy.
I wish I could remember what airline it was, but way back in the day, like 14 years ago, one of the airlines, it was either AirTran Airways or American Trans Air, but their hold music was just really trippy, and it's something that you could probably fall asleep to, but it just gave you this sound or this feeling that you would be flying through space and maybe like a little Jetsons car off in the background just buzzing by. It had like weird noises like that.
Weird.
And I really wish I could remember which airline it was so I could find out where they got their music from, but it was weird.
Somebody was thinking outside the box, definitely.
Yeah, it wasn't like your typical call United or Delta, I forget which one it was, that had George Gershwin's theme that you'd have to sit there and listen to on repeat. But yeah, it was either American Trans Air or AirTran Airways. It was one of the two, and it just, I think that would be good ambient music or noise for people to fall asleep to.
If any of our listeners have some extra time on their hands, that would be a chore for our listeners to find out.
That would.
Gotta start using our listeners for stuff like this. It's payback time.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good one. Either that or my memories completely change things up, but I remember having to listen to that several times on hold.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. For extended periods of time. So.
All right, cool. That's a great story. I'm going to check out that the ambient noise from the Nostromo. That's cool. All right, move on to the next story, National Geographic Channel to investigate the world of UFOs. Another great documentary coming up on the horizon. There are some UFO encounters that are really hard to explain, and UFO Alien Invasion will reconstruct incidents from all over the world in a series which begins October 31st, Halloween, on the National Geographic Channel. So basically, they're going to have, this is one of your typical documentary show where they take probably one case per episode, and they're going to reconstruct everything and kind of investigate all aspects of it. And there's a couple of really interesting stories, and I had never heard of this one, but this one is really cool. Australia, 1978, where a pilot and his plane went missing without a trace, and the last communication to the air traffic control was, "Melbourne, that strange aircraft is hovering on top of me again. It's hovering, but it's not an aircraft." Followed by a 17-second unidentified sound, and that plane was never recovered. Have you guys, either of you guys, heard of that story?
No.
I don't think so. Not off the top of my head.
That's a creepy story. Like,
yeah.
I've never heard of a case of somebody going missing like that and them having actual, like, evidence or sound from before it happened or as it happened. Because he was communicating with the tower, he reported the UFO, and then that was it, and he's never been heard from again. That's crazy. So
yeah,
that's one of the cases that they're going to talk about on the show. Another one was from 2009, a Norwegian army officer driving to his army base. The sky is pitch black, and then a white and blue circling light appears. A call to security confirms there is no activity planned on the base. If it's not military, then what is it? And then a couple other ones they're going to talk about is back around 2009, there was this whole rash of like orange glowing orbs that were seen over the UK. And most of them were blamed for Chinese lanterns. But there's one that apparently almost like forced a police helicopter down out of the sky, and the eyewitness had a lot more like the report was more than just a Chinese lantern. So these are some of the cases they're going to talk about on this new show, which is called UFO Alien Invasion, premiering October 31st on Nat Geo. I don't know why I said it that way, because I hate when they say it that way. It's National Geographic Channel.
They're brainwashing you into saying things like they do.
Curse them!
I used to give people a hard time for saying totes, and now I say totes.
I know! It's like, you hear it enough times, and you just, like you said, it's you're being hypnotized.
It just, it comes out, and you're just like, well, crap. And then you just kind of go with it.
So it's like subliminal. Yeah. It's like subliminal advertising for like a song that you hear on a commercial, and then you start singing it, and then you end up at the grocery store buying that thing that was in the song. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's review the story. Are either of you interested in seeing this show?
Yes,
I'd give it a watch.
Okay. Is there any particular incident that you would like them to investigate?
Oh, this Melbourne thing here is freaking outstanding. That's either proof of an alien abduction, or the greatest con job for like making yourself disappear and start a whole new life.
You know what? I was just thinking, that's like the that's like the extreme equivalent of being on the cell phone in the car, and you're like, shh, shh, shh. Breaking up.
Tunnel. I can hear you.
Yeah.
I'm in the. Click.
But for those cases, people don't usually. You usually turn up eventually. This guy did not. He's never found.
D.B. Cooper was never found either.
This is true. It's very true.
So, it is possible.
His money, or part of the money, was found, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So they think. Dun, dun, dun! Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not even the music.
Oh, hang on. No, I got it. Nah, don't worry about it. I got it. I got what you're looking for, and it's suspense? That?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so there you go. That's story number two. Again, the premiere date for that is October 31st. That's hard not to remember, or hard to forget, or whatever I'm trying to say. Easy to remember. October 31st, Halloween.
Halloween?
Yeah, Nat Geo, UFO Alien Invasion.
After you're done doing your trick-or-treating and whatnot, you should sit down and take a look.
Yep.
Or watch it and then go trick-or-treating, whatever.
Or record it and watch it later and get wasted that night.
there are options. Always options.
Or get high on all your candy that you got. Stolen from your kid.
Or are you injecting it, smoking your candy? That isn't right.
Yeah. I was thinking more along the lines of sugar high, you know?
I thought maybe huffing the candy was what the kids are doing now.
No, that's not what they do. All right, let's get back on track here, talk about our last story of the week, and it's Brad's.
And I have to, I did find this story earlier in the week, and I did not think to post it. This covers like a couple of things that I'm really interested in. One, obviously, aliens. Two, actually, there are three things here. Two, I'm a big fan of H.P. Lovecraft and Cthulhu, the Cthulhu mythos. And three, role-playing games.
And we're talking the G-rated, PG-rated board game type RPGs, not in the bedroom. Hey, let's play the doctor and nurse role-playing game,
right? I don't
think
they're really called RPGs in the bedroom, though, are they?
You could call them that if you wanted to.
It's called role-play in the bedroom. Role-playing games
implies tabletop and...
Or Naked Twister and a gallon of Crisco or something, I guess.
You could make it into a game if you wanted to.
I mean, I guess you could.
Well, that took a turn. Hey, let's get back to my story!
I was going to say, I think I'm going to have to skip game night, sweetie.
Aww. I just got a 55-gallon drum of cooking oil from Costco on the way. Darn it. All right, anyways, the end of the world RPG that you simulate how well you'd fare during the apocalypse. Now, this game, the core game system, is from a game company called Fantasy Flight Games, and they make a number of really, really cool games. And they this game is being released October 7th, I believe. So at the time that we're recording this, about 3 weeks from now. And the cool thing about this is that there's a core system to run the game. The first game that's coming out with this core system is Zombie Apocalypse. And it challenges you to face hordes of undead that rise and stalk the earth, hungry for the flesh of the living.
Can you, okay, wait a second, Brad. Can you explain core system? Because not all of us are role-playing game people like you are.
What I wanted to give premise, and then I was going to take a step back and kind of give you the deets. I just use deets. Oh, yeah. So the way this game system works is you role play yourself, okay? Your physical capabilities, your mental capabilities, all these things are drafted onto a character sheet that you will use to play this game, okay? Are you nearsighted? Well, that would be a something that you could role play as something that could maybe cause you difficulties later on, a drawback, as it were. Do you have other skills? Maybe you've taken martial arts to the point where you're a black belt. Well, that would be taken into consideration in the game. So your life skills, your abilities, all of this are put into a character sheet, and then somebody runs the game, the game master, as it were, and they give you the situation that is laid out in the Zombie Apocalypse and these other books that we'll get to in a second, and you play in this world as essentially yourself, and you can see how well you would survive in these particular apocalyptic conditions. Okay, so I told you the first book was Zombie Apocalypse. The second one is called Wrath of the Gods, and that could be something that could be like the Mayan apocalypse that was foreseen in 2012 to the Cthulhu mythos, which would be elder gods coming back from outer space or outer dimensions to Earth to destroy the people on it. There's a third installment, which is an alien invasion, applicable here. So it could be, conquering warriors from another world, or even aliens too small to be seen by the naked eye. And the fourth and final one is Revolt of the Machines. So that would be, sentient AI going wrong, like Terminator, or maybe, people that have devices that are implanted into them and they take over, a human body or something like that. So you've got these four different sort of conditional types of apocalypse. Zombie, outer dimensional beings like gods, an alien invasion, or a machine revolt. Excuse me. Now, like I said, the thing that's unique about it is you play yourself. So that would be your physical, your mental, your social attributes. Your ability to get along well with people would probably, if you're really good with other people, that might serve you later on down the road in an apocalypse where you need to be in a small group of people that are fighting to survive. The other thing, too, is you kind of look around your environment. And when you're building the character for the game, are you the kind of person that carries a pocket knife on them at all times? That could be used as a weapon in the game, and that would be put on your character sheet. Are you playing at your house? So say everybody comes to your house to play, you could use, the fact that you've got you have a shovel in your garage or something like that. You could use that as a weapon in the game.
Can I interject real quick?
Yeah.
So if I was going to your house to play the game, would I want to bring things into my car?
Well, I mean, you could even arrange to, you know, make an agreement that, okay, so when we create these characters, we'll just go with some of the supplies that are in my house. Now, don't get bogged down with, you know, you're going to make a huge inventory list of all the crap that you have in your house. Okay. It's not that detailed. You pick certain items that you think would be useful, and you would put that on your character sheet, and then you would run with the game. So, from what I've seen, the game is going to be available. Let's see, I said October 7th. Let me just double check that date here. Yeah, fourth quarter of 2014. So I did see a date of the 7th of October. But it looks like for $40, essentially, you get the game system with the four different books.
What's it called again?
It's called The End of the World.
God, this sounds so awesome. I'm not one to play role-playing games, but this one sounds really awesome. This sounds like something that, and it's got all kinds, like, how do you choose which apocalypse you got to deal with?
Well, I think it's probably the person that's going to, well, you could do it a couple of different ways. You could take the democratic approach. You've got your group of people that you play with, and you could say, hey, I've got these four scenarios. Let's run this around the room. What do you think we should play? And you could go that route, or you could say, I own the damn game. I'm going to choose what apocalypse you guys face, and start that route. But the nice thing about this is you've got four different scenarios, but within the scenarios, you could have, you know, like I mentioned before as an example, maybe your Wrath of the Gods, for example. Maybe that's Godzilla-like creatures, or Mothra, or creatures like that come to Earth and are stomping on cities, and you're trying to survive as they're duking it out on planet Earth. Or maybe it's, you know, Cthulhu and his troop come to Earth. So, I mean, there's different sub sort of genres you could run inside of these overarching themes of Alien Invasion, Revolt of the Machines, Wrath of the Gods, and Zombie Apocalypse. So there's freedom to kind of make these. You could play the same system over and over if you wanted to and have slightly different things that could happen within or different conditions, like the zombie apocalypse. Did it come from, you know, maybe somebody cracked open a geode and for some reason there's biological material that's released and it's an airborne parasite or something that takes over people? Or, you know, maybe there's a nuclear accident and people are poisoned and they become zombie-like. Or, I mean, so there's different sub sort of scenarios that you can run within those different overarching themes. So it seems really cool. If you're big into gaming, or because you're playing yourself and maybe you're not comfortable pretending to be an orc or an elf or a dwarf or anything like that, maybe that intimidates you. You play yourself in this game. You know, that's pretty comfortable. You come in, you wear your clothes, you do your thing, and you create your person based on yourself, and boom, you're off. And maybe that's more your thing. So this could be a nice gateway for people that have been interested in gaming but really don't want to feel like they're Legolas or you know, or anything like that. Maybe that's more comfortable. Maybe that's more your thing. Maybe this is a gateway drug to playing D&D like Anessa and I do. So yeah, and Alien Invasion, I mean, come on, why not? It's the name of our show.
Yeah. I better fix that. Toot sweet. All right, sounds good, Brad. Thank you very much. Great story. Before we move on to the craft corner, let's talk about feedback. And not the kind of feedback that, like, you get your guitar too close to your amp and you get that kind of feedback. Or your microphone too close to the speaker, that kind of feedback. We're talking, like, you like something that we talked about on the show or didn't like something we talked about on the show, then you let us know, okay? And there's two different ways of, actually, there's more than two, but I will cover only two ways of getting a hold of us. Email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com, or the voicemail number, that is 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Let us know your thoughts on any of the stories, or let us know your thoughts on the our picks for the week, or the Craft Corner. Anything that we talk about, let us know with your feedback. And if you forgot everything I just said, galacticnetcasts.com has all the different ways that you can leave feedback as well. Okay, then. Let's continue on with this right here.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
It had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
All right, it is time for the Craft Corner, a.k.a. Famous Alien Spacecraft in History. And the last couple of episodes, we've talked about fictional craft. Now we're going to go back to more, like, crafts that people have reported seeing in encounters with aliens here on planet Earth in real life. And the one that we're talking about this week is a coin-like disc. I think that we've talked about discs shapes before, like the traditional flying saucer, or even like a round-type objects, but we're talking ones that look like a coin that are round in shape and have like very much straight up and down edges, like you would have a 50-cent piece or a nickel or a quarter, that kind of shape. And here's what they said about this from the website I got this information from, which was UFOGrid.com. No, I take that back. Alien-UFOs.com is the website. And what it said was, shaped like a giant 50-cent piece, this UFO is the type most often reported by military and airline pilots flying at 20,000 to 40,000 feet. Funny, we just talked about a little while ago a pilot having an encounter with a spacecraft of unknown origin and him never being found ever again. So maybe this was the craft that he had an encounter with. Who knows? Eyewitnesses say that the flat edge of the disc is often ringed with red or green lights. The spaceship is incredibly fast, zipping along at speeds of more than 2,500 miles an hour. The craft has been estimated at 15 to 20 feet in diameter and 2 to 3 feet high. There is one incident involving this type of craft. And this is actually this year. I found a bunch of them, but I figured I'd grab the one that was most recent. And this one is really interesting, too. Another reason why I wanted to bring it up. A couple in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, were startled by a very low helicopter flying over their home that appeared to be closely following two disc-shaped UFOs on the evening of July 22, 2014. The husband, a U.S. Air Force veteran with flight line experience, told the National UFO Reporting Center that he was driving home at 9:20 p.m. when he heard a loud helicopter approaching as he drove up his driveway. The witness stepped out of his pickup truck to see where the helicopter was and why it was so low to the ground. And he said, to my astonishment, two large pewter gray colored craft were flying in front of the helicopter in a tight formation. One staggered to the left rear of the front pewter craft, the witness reported. He described these strange objects as approximately 60 to 70 feet across in diameter, about 10 to 12 foot thick in the centers. The outer edges of the craft were similar to the edge of a coin, like a nickel, smooth with no markings. I would estimate the sides would be around 2 to 3 feet on the vertical measurement, he said. The craft made no noise whatsoever, had no markings, no windows of any types, and no lights. So this kind of goes against the traditional coin disc shape description with lights around the side. The helicopter followed the UFOs, or the helicopter following the UFOs was familiar to the U.S. Air Force veteran who described it as all black, had no markings on the fuselage, but was an Apache helicopter. So, sounds like it's one of those black helicopters that you hear about sometimes following, that are usually associated with some kind of UFO sighting. The black marked list helicopters. So there you have it. That is our craft corner, craft of the week. It is the coin-like disc-shaped UFO and a very cool-sounding encounter with them.
Indeed.
Thoughts, guys? Feelings on this? What are your feelings? Tell me your feelings.
Feelings.
Feelings. Nothing but feelings.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. Wait, what?
2,500 miles per hour.
That's fast.
That's three times the speed of sound.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out in my head as well, what the speed of sound was in miles per hour.
Yeah, it's 710.
So you'd think these guys would be like...
Oh, I'm sorry. Speed of sound is 340. Oh, that's meters per second. Boo. I don't want your crazy...
I don't know what kilometers per hour would be in speed of sound. I'm not that good yet with the metric system. It's weird here in Canada. They pick and choose what metrics is it, what things they want metric and what thing they want other measurements.
766 miles per hour is the speed of sound.
Okay. So
how
many times?
766 times 3. If I can get my calendar or calculator, 766 times 3. Oh, God, that's 25?
2,500
miles per hour.
Okay, so about a little over three times the speed of sound.
Okay, so that means three sonic booms, right? Every time it's over the speed of sound, it lets out a boom. So you're hearing three sonic booms? Boom, boom, boom? I'm totally being stupid. I don't know. That's probably not how it works.
A boom. No, it does. Every time you crack.
Oh, okay.
You every time you go that every Mach you hit, Mach 1, Mach 2, Mach 3, you boom.
Oh, okay. I was actually trying to be just funny.
Oh, yes.
That was right. That's awesome. Okay.
How do you like them apples?
All right, so that's your craft corner. Coin-shaped, disc-like UFO. Okay, you guys ready for picks?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about something that we watched, listened to, read, played. What else could there be? Experienced in the last week. And
it could be experienced because, I mean, you could go to the restaurant like Brad did in Fargo that was alien-themed.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And when so you can definitely go and experience something. So.
And when you think about it, experience is a good generic word for all that. I mean, if you're eating something, you're experiencing. If you're listening to it, you're experiencing. So, Anessa, what did you experience this week?
Actually, it was experienced in a couple of different goes, and Brad was there each time.
Oh, wow.
Well, initially when we were going to watch the Doctor Who premiere of the season. I had come across this show probably about a little over a year ago, and it's a BBC Two radio show called Welcome to Our Village, Please Invade Carefully. And at the time, I think the first episode or two were online, but the day that we were supposed to do the podcast was the last day that it was available. And I'm like, I don't want to recommend something that people don't have access to, because I couldn't find any downloads anywhere at that point. And so I just kind of like left it on the back burner. And then one day this popped in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, like I need to finish listening to that. And so I downloaded it, and on the drive to Green Bay, Brad and I listened to the first half, and then we listened to the second half today. And like I said, it's a sitcom. It comes out, I think, in five or six episodes. I forget how many. It came out in 2012. It stars Katherine Parkinson. She plays the role of Katrina Lyons, and she's the actress, if you've watched The IT Crowd, that plays Jen.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she plays Katherine for the first two or three episodes, and then I'm guessing there was probably a scheduling conflict and she couldn't continue playing the character, and so they switched up the actress partway through the show, which was a little odd. Took me a bit to get used to it again. Because she has such a distinct voice and mannerisms when she talks. And then suddenly they're calling this person Katrina, and I'm like, wait, that doesn't sound like her. Did she change? And yeah, they changed the actress partway through. But anyway, there's this village that is called Cresden Green, and it has been invaded by the, I think they're called the Geonin. And typically when they invade a planet, it's they go all in, and that usually doesn't work out very well. And so they decided to try something different and just invade this one little village in the UK. And they put up a impenetrable field around the village. And so no one could get in or out. And Catherine, or Katrina, was visiting her parents, and she gets stuck there. And this village is having to interact and deal with these aliens that have invaded their village. And she's upset about this. She's got tickets to a show. She can't make it. And so she's like, why isn't anybody fighting against these people, like these aliens? We need to put up a resistance. We need to free ourselves. We need to work to be free. And everyone's just like, well, you know, now that they've closed off the village from the rest of the world, then I don't have to compete. Like, my small business no longer has to compete with Asda down the street, or whatever the shop was, I can't think of. That was the first British shop that I could think of. And so, you know, she's really upset by this. And the aliens want to learn more about the human race before broadening their invasion, so they know the best way to invade Earth as a whole. So, yeah, it's actually an entertaining show if you enjoy British humor. And accents.
Okay, so this is a radio show?
This is a radio show. It came out on BBC Radio 2 back in 2012.
I didn't know that they still did radio dramas. Like, I didn't know that networks did
BBC
radio dramas anymore.
Definitely does, yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. and it's always so funny, because the aliens and the humans essentially are foiling each other in their plans. You've got one trying to figure out what the plans are, and you've got another one trying to figure out what the humans are doing, and then they get in each other's way and they butt heads. And but the aliens are very polite, though.
Yeah, that's
well,
always it, and you can tell it's it. And our previous guest on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Daryl Johnson's probably going to be a little upset when I say these words, but it's very what we would stereotype as British, very polite. it's a polite invasion, which is kind of goes along with the title of the show.
Yeah, with the name. So, because it's not like, oh, we're going to destroy everything and flatten everything. It's like, oh, well, we're going to come into your shop. Oh, you don't want us there? Okay, fine. We'll open up our own shop. We'll go over here and we won't disturb you.
That's funny.
So it's got a lot of that humor, and yeah, I was really amused by it.
Sounds like a very non-invasive invasion.
Yes, it really kind of is. And that's what makes it even funnier.
Yeah, it's more of an inconvenience, and a minor one at that.
We should rename the pod or the netcast The Alien Inconvenience.
Yep.
And that's the title this week, I think.
The Alien Inconvenience.
Yes.
But yeah, I found it on Audible, and I was really excited to find it there. I paid the $9 or $10 or something, I think. So, yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's 5 or 6 episodes, and it ends up being about 2 hours long, maybe slightly over, but not by much. So.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like a very interesting way to kill some time.
Does Brad have anything else to add?
Yeah, it was jarring to have the lead actress switch out. And I remember her as Jen from the IT Crowd, and she's been in a number of other productions.
Oh, she's in a ton of things. Like,
yeah, she pops up once in a while.
And, yeah.
Very, very talented actress and very, very funny actress. Peter Davidson's in it, which it's kind of nice to have the Fifth Doctor to hear his voice again, and he plays the main character's father. And he's, I don't remember if they specifically state what company he works for, but at one point in one of the episodes, he ends up kind of looking through the alien books, as it were, and planning out how much the cost for a full-scale invasion of Earth would be based in their currency. And the difference is if Earth embraced the aliens, how much it would cost, or if there was a drawn out resistance to the alien invasion, and the two different costs. And he did it in a very relatively short amount of time. He's that talented at doing book work.
That's
so
very smart. That's very smart.
Yeah. There's an episode where he captains a cricket team. So it was a cricket team for the village versus a cricket team that the aliens put together to have a contest. It's really fun. If you enjoy radio plays, I grew up listening to like National Public Radio, and they always had, I heard The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on NPR. As a kid, and I think Lord of the Rings, at least The Hobbit, I know for sure.
Have I ever asked you, Brad, if you ever listened to the CBS Mystery Theater growing up?
Perhaps, but I don't recall it. No, I don't think I have.
It's basically what it sounds like. It was a Twilight Zone type of format where it was a different story each week. But it's a radio play. It was they're all like mysteries. I think there was a couple of alien stories, but very, very old school, like traditional radio back in the 1930s, 1940s kind of show. You know, it was neat.
Yep. No, and I've always loved stuff like that, and I'm actually working with a group of people to make a radio play of sorts.
Cool.
So, no details on that quite yet, but.
All right.
As soon as we put something together, we'll let people know.
Okay, thank you. All right, is that going to do it? Is that the last you got there, Vanessa?
Yep.
Brad and Vanessa? Oh, you guys both had, I didn't see that it was a joint.
Yes, we had the same pick.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because part of the thing was Brad was going to do the sphere, and he's pretty sure that he's done it before, but he couldn't remember if he had done the book or the movie.
Okay.
Which he's read the book and he's seen the movie, or he didn't know if he combined the two, and he's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, you've heard this, so why not join me?
Okay, good idea. Better safe than sorry.
We're trying not to do too many joint picks, but
well,
he's listened to it. I'm like, you can talk about it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I'll give it to you.
So, yep.
All right, good stuff, guys. As always, quality pick. Mine is one of those picks where I didn't really have anything until today. So I did the old, let's jump on Vimeo to find a short film. And I found a short film. It's called State of the Union. It's a real short, kind of like proof of concept short film to see if they can get backers to make a full length, like, feature film. Sort of like they did with District, what was it?
District 9.
District 9. They had that short film, and then they did the full-length feature film. And this is kind of along the same lines. Basically, it starts off with somebody clicking on a video on their smartphone, and it's the president speaking. Or no, it's not the president at first. It's like a soldier. And they kind of segue from the person watching it on the screen to the actual scene where it's happening. And there's like apparently a big invasion happening in Washington, D.C., and the president's being escorted out with these soldiers, and they're being fired upon by these alien whoever. You really don't see the craft too well. And it basically ends up where the shot of that battle going on ends, and the video ends, and it flashes back to the person that's watching the video, and they're like, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe this is actually happening. You know, they're freaking out. Then the other person that's with her says, oh, that's just a viral video. But then she's like, well, that's actually the president, so how can that be happening or whatever? And then the power goes out, and they run outside. They hear a noise, and they run outside, and here's this huge ship hovering above their city. So they thought it was like some kind of viral video, but it was actually happening. And that's the premise. That's the setup for the feature film. And looking forward to seeing the rest of it made. But you can check out the short film version of it with the link that we'll have posted in the show notes of the podcast. It's called State of the Union, and it looks pretty badass. They actually got somebody that looks very much like James Earl Jones. A James Earl Jones sort of look-alike person to play the president in the short film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they didn't do it purposefully, but it ended up that this guy looked very much like, was it James Earl Jones? I forget now. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's Morgan Freeman. I forget.
Looks like James Earl Jones to me.
Okay, yeah, James Earl Jones.
It looks like maybe like a younger, thinner James Earl Jones.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was definitely thinking that.
Or maybe his brother.
Yeah. Maybe it is his brother. I have no idea. I didn't check the cast.
Yeah, I didn't look at the cast. I just kind of looked at a couple little clips of the video.
It's a neat story, though. It's just basically he's trying to do the State of the Union, the last State of the Union, as he's being, like, they're being forced out of Washington, D.C. by these aliens. It's really neat. He's, like, very intent on making sure that the U.S. or the U.S. population knows what the hell's going on and why this is happening. Totally forgot about, this is the best part. He talks about how the aliens had a pact with the humans since like the 1960s. And something happened where the aliens got pissed off, or we did something that caused that pact to be broken, and they finally like had enough and started like kicking our ass.
Of course.
So again, that's my pick, State of the Union. And you can watch that on Vimeo. Just search Vimeo for State of the Union, or just check out the link in the show notes. And that's going to do it for this alien invasion. That's a show.
Nice.
Sweet.
Before we actually leave you this episode, let's talk about where you can subscribe to the show. You can do that on iTunes or Stitcher. Just search for The Alien Invasion or Galactic Netcasts on Stitcher or iTunes, or just go to our website, galacticnetcasts.com, galacticnetcasts.com. Mentioned this earlier, but feedback, 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966, or galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Oh, I forgot. Remember the feedback that we had? He was listening to our shows. He was like going through them really fast. And one of the things.
Oh, yeah, the email. Yes.
Yeah. The one thing he said was we never like sum up the picks. Well, I forgot to sum up the picks this week. So my pick was State of the Union.
I thought he wrote back to complain that maybe we forgot it.
No.
Whoops.
State of the Union was mine. And Anessa and Brad's was Welcome to Our Village. Please invade carefully. And we'll have the links to both those in the show notes as well. All right, so final thoughts. Brad, what do you got?
I need to double check and see which one I talked about, Sphere the movie or Sphere the book.
I'm
like completely obsessed with that now.
I don't remember talking about either of those.
I really do.
Because all I could find was that we talked about, at some point, a short film called The Sphere, but it wasn't the book or the movie.
Yeah, I'm really
kind
of... And
the Dyson Sphere was the other one, which kept coming up, but I couldn't find The Sphere or Sphere movie.
Yeah, I really think it's an early, early episode where I talked about it.
Okay.
I really do.
Well, I think the only thing that we can really do to find out is go to the archives section of the website And that will take you to our archive.org page.
I couldn't find it there.
Couldn't find it?
Mm-mm. No, it was weird because, like, all the episodes, I guess, were not in order.
Oh, yeah, they're not. They're totally not.
So, and I tried doing, like, an actual search for Galactic Netcast and Sphere, and all that came up was the Dyson Sphere and short movie Sphere. So... Unless things were done differently, or like early on, and they weren't included in the notes, I don't know
why I wouldn't include Sphere as a keyword, because I always put keywords on.
I don't know. I'll have to go page by page and do a search.
Okay. All right.
And see.
Okay. All right. Hopefully, we'll have an update on this next week.
And maybe add all of these into a spreadsheet.
It was something that I think we really need to. We're kind of reaching a point now where we're on episode 119. 118. And man, I really think that we probably need to start writing these down, or we're going to start.
Yeah, because we at least have a spreadsheet for the ships and the creatures. But we need one for the picks, because things start to really blur together after a while. You know, and you tend to start forgetting,
you know,
what
something
you
else
about and what you didn't.
You know, something else you could do, Anessa, is go to our website, galacticnetcasts.com, and go to...
But it only goes up to, like, episode...
No. Go to picks, or go to shop, and then click on picks, and that takes you to our store. And you'd have to go page by page, but I believe it might be on there.
Because didn't you start that, like, later on, or did you go back and add previous picks?
I don't remember. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
No, and that's fine. That's something that we'll work it out.
Okay. This is probably best conversation for not actually during the podcast.
Hey, everybody.
It's all the sausage is made.
And how we can't remember stuff.
Yeah. All right. So that's Brad's final thought. What's your final thought, Anessa?
I'm going to have Whataburger.
You're going to have what?
Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Oh, I thought you said Wahlburger.
What a burger.
Okay.
Just like I like it.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Another food-related final thought for Anessa, and that's going to do it for this Alien Invasion number 118 Galactic Netcast.
At least I don't have to pee.
There you go. Got to look at the positive. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Now I have to pee.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.